Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, friends, here we are just 10 days after Anthony Scaramucci became White House Communications Director, and he is gone. The New York Times reported yesterday that President Trump has decided to remove Anthony Scaramucci from his position as communications director. And then very quickly thereafter, ABC News reported that Scaramucci, often playfully referred to by his nickname, the Mooch, had resigned. So was he fired or did he resign? Well, Scaramucci, who was a New York financier, came on board as communications director just 10 days ago, which was what reportedly led to the resignation of Press Secretary Sean Spicer. Citing multiple anonymous sources, the New York Times reported that Scaramucci being forced out was the work of new Chief of Staff, four-star General John Kelly, who took over the job this week after Reince Priebus resigned from that position last week. Here's what the White House press office said, and I quote, "Anthony Scaramucci will be leaving his role as White House Communication Director. Mr. Scaramucci felt it was best to give Chief of Staff John Kelly a clean slate and the ability to build his own team," end quote. The Times reported it was not clear if Scaramucci would stay on in a different role in the White House or whether he would leave altogether. But friends, one thing is sure, his brief tenure was defined by tumult and headlines, most notably coming from a profanity-laden interview last week with The New Yorker. Now, friends, I'm going to be honest with you. I was unaware of the full content of that interview until yesterday afternoon when I found out that Scaramucci had either resigned or been forced out. But in that interview, he had other attacks or leveled other attacks against other members of the Trump team, including an especially crude insult aimed at advisor Steve Bannon. Well, friends, with that, I welcome you to Stand in the Gap today. This is Dave Kistler, along with Gary Dahl. Sam is away today, but we do have as our special guest former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense Jim O'Brien. Jim is a dear friend. He's been a regular on this program, and he's going to bring his expertise to this discussion of what actually is not only going on in the White House, but also who is John Kelly, the gentleman that has been slated by Donald Trump to be the new communication director. Who is he? Or excuse me, his new position, chief of staff. We're also going to talk about who may be the new communication director. But anyway, all of that's going to be a discussion today as we try to address what's going on the inside. Gary, let me go to you first. The reports are coming that Chief of Staff John Kelly, four-star general, obviously the president has great respect for military men. He has two others already serving on his team. This now makes the third. But it's being reported that he is the one that has insisted that Scaramucci had to go. Let me ask you, what do you think's going on?
Well, you know, one of the things that we heard Donald Trump say, even during his campaign, is that he will listen to the generals. And of course, right now, he has a general right there working with him as chief of staff. I don't know. I kind of think that General John Kelly actually came along and said, if I'm going to work with you, then the Mooch has to go. Mm. I mean, I certainly am not inside, and I'm not privy to any White House leaks, no matter what people might say. But the fact of the matter is, that's what I'm thinking, that John Kelly went in there as a four-star general. He knows his way around Washington. He's experienced in the military. He laid down the law, and the Mooch is gone.
Well, the New York Times published the following report late yesterday evening. It said this: John F. Kelly, President Trump's new chief of staff, firmly asserted his authority on his first day in the White House on Monday, telling aides he will impose military discipline on a free-for-all West Wing, and he underscored his intent by firing Anthony Scaramucci, the bombastic communication director, 10 days after he was hired. Jim, let me go to you because you've served in all aspects of the military. You know well the reputation of General Kelly. What do you think is going on here? Is that consistent, the report coming out of the New York Times, with what you know of John Kelly and how he operates, consummate professional? Is it consistent with who he is that he would be the guy that said, Scaramucci's got to go if I'm going to have a part?
Well, Dave, I'm not surprised at what he did. I mean, he's been a Marine's Marine. He was the commander for a good part of the time over in Anbar province. And in the Marine Corps in particular, you say, yes, sir. you know, 3 bags full. How many do you want? And so he runs quiet and he runs deep. He's not bombastic. He's not out there in your face. But what he says he means what he says. And we're seeing the results of that. He could not peacefully coexist with Scaramucci. And perhaps some others will also go. I don't know. Steve Bannon, you know, I think he feels like he's got an inside track, but that's going to be problematic, I think, with Kelly now as the direct report and the only direct report, if you will, within the White House. He does have a lot of military experience. We can get into that a little later. But, Gary, what do you have?
Well, I was just thinking, you know, you talk about Steve Bannon. Back when Donald Trump was building his White House staff, everybody across the country was very concerned about Steve Bannon being in there, about the kind of a man he might be and should be and would be. He is, he's hardly been on the Richter scale since some other things have been taking place there at the White House.
Yeah, he has not been front and center at all. He's not even been on the radar. One of the things, gentlemen, that was said yesterday was this, and it had to do with the president, that he felt that Anthony's comments were inappropriate. Maybe that's an understatement. Inappropriate for a person in his position. And he didn't want to burden General Kelly, I'm talking about the president, with that line of succession or having to deal with Scaramucci. So he basically gave John Kelly decision. The decision was his to make. So if that is what he did, what does that say, Jim?
Well, I think that perhaps some of those words were put in Scaramucci's mouth, okay? I can't see him just saying, listen, whatever you need, whatever you can do to, whatever I can do to help you succeed. I don't see that in Scaramucci. I just don't see it.
Well, I don't either. And Gary, let me ask you this. If the president did find Scaramucci's comments, and of course, if you've read it, friends, the language is incredibly inappropriate. It's inexcusable. To be honest with you. But, Gary, if the president did say, you know, this is inappropriate for a man in your position, and he did let him go based, at least to some degree, on the content of his statements and the inappropriate nature of them, what does that say about our president? Good, bad, whatever.
Well, I think it might indicate he is listening to good advice, you know, if indeed he thinks that this kind of speech is something that should not be around the White House, particularly with somebody of that level. And, you know, we may talk about that a little bit later on, but it almost appears to me is that the mean Donald Trump might be trying to clean up that White House a little bit.
Amen.
Well, it sounds that way to me. And friends, I want to say this. If that is the case, then all of this is going to settle down at some point. I know the media just, this is fodder for them, Jim. I mean, they are literally just salivating at all of this and talking about it. But, you know, Jim, talk about it. You have a little bit, oh, we have just a few seconds here, but you have a little bit of a history. You understand transitions within the context of administrations. Is this that unusual?
I would say it's relatively unusual, at least the intensity that this happened. Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, friends, we're talking about the John Kelly appointment, chief of staff, and also the Scaramucci firing. And when we come back from the brief timeout, we're going to talk a little bit more about who is John Kelly. Who is this man? What is he about? As well as a leading evangelical advised the president with respect to Scaramucci. What is that all about as well? All of that coming up after this next timeout, very brief, on Stand in the Gap Today.
Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung in Jerusalem, Israel. You often hear me on Stand in the Gap Today with Sam, Dave, and Gary. Guess what? We're all coming to Israel. Love to have you come and go with us. The dates are March the 7th through the 21st. That will include 10 days in Israel, 4 days in Petra, one of the most unique cities in all the world. If you need more information, the itinerary, the exact dates, also the information about cost, call this number, 423-825-6247. That's 423-825-6247. Ask for Jody. She can give you all the information as Stand in the Gap Today and Prophecy Today go host a tour to Israel. Next year in Jerusalem, we're looking forward to you being here with us.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K to 12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
So what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either. And that is a beautiful thing, too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE. Now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, friends, welcome back to Stand in the Gap Today. The name Bob Vanderplatz should ring a bell with any of you that are political junkies. You follow the political scene. Bob is a leading national evangelical, but primarily his influence is felt in the state of Iowa. He's also a political activist, and he got off to a rocky start during the campaign season, the primary season, with President Trump, now President Trump, because Bob endorsed Senator Ted Cruz for president. And although Vanderplatz ultimately supported Trump in the November election, things heated up again between Vanderplatz and the president this week. And, of course, this time it was prompted by the vulgar profanity-laced tirade of temporary White House Communication Director Anthony Scaramucci. And, of course, we're not going to mention on this program for sure any of the things Scaramucci said, but he did say them. And, friends, they were beyond the pale. They were inexcusable, absolutely beyond inappropriate. Now, Gary, I want to ask you this because I find this to be interesting. We know the president has this 28-member spiritual advisory team. Some mutual friends of yours and mine are actually on that team, and he appears to be, with great regularity and maybe even increasing regularity, listening to the advice of this team. Now, I don't think Vanderplatz is actually one of those 28 members, but he is an influential gentleman, and he wrote a letter to Donald Trump basically saying, after Anthony Scaramucci made those comments in that interview, you need, and I'm quoting Vanderplatz directly, you need to wash his mouth out with soap, Mr. President, and then escort him to the White House door and send him packing. Well, evidently, some of that played a role in the president's decision. Now, my question to you is this. What does that say about our president if he's listening again to evangelical leaders like this?
Well, again, I think that that says something good from our perspective, from the perspective of evangelical Christianity. You know, I don't know if Bob Vanderplatz is on that particular spiritual advisory group, but we do know that he has a relationship with the president, and it's a fairly good relationship with the president. And but even honing in a little bit more on your question, you know, we were told that even before the election that this particular group existed, 28, 30 people around Donald Trump, and that he consistently listened to them. And if some of the political pundits or advisors, I should say, gave him some direction, he would then look at the spiritual advisors and say, what do you think? And on more than one occasion, he took the advice of the spiritual advisors rather than the political advisors. He listens. Donald Trump listens. Say what you will say about him. He has a flaw here or there, like every one of us have many flaws. But it consistently is brought out to us that he does listen to spiritual advice. And that is good.
Jim, one of the things Gary just mentioned, I want to kind of focus on here and ask you a question. And he's 100% correct. What Gary just said is correct. In fact, it was Michelle Bachmann who told us this on the program, that she said in meetings where his political team would say, Mr. President, here's what, or Mr. President-elect or whatever, we need to go this direction. And the president would then turn to this other group, the spiritual advisory group, and they would say this: if you do what you were just advised to do, there's going to be ethical concerns. And in every situation, Mrs. Bachmann said, every situation that she had seen, he sided with his spiritual advisory team.
Amen.
To me, Jim, that is not only good, that may perhaps be unprecedented.
Yeah, the word that comes to my mind, which is totally, it seems, out of character to Don Trump, is what we call meekness, being willing to defer. You know, when you have a horse, you call it a meek horse. A meek racehorse is a racehorse that complies to the commands of its jockey. Okay, it's not a weak horse, it's a meek horse. And I think by accepting those kinds of advice, that kind of advice from these folks, I think it shows a degree of meekness, which I would not expect for me to be saying that about Mr. Trump, because he tends to be just knock you over with whatever he wants, and I think that's his persona. But it's interesting to get that side of him that we haven't really seen much of.
Well, Bob Vander Plaats of Iowa, is not the only high-profile religious leader this month to call for others to confront Trump. Friends, you will remember about 3 weeks ago, 3.5 weeks ago, photos surfaced showing evangelical pastors laying hands on the president, praying over him. And Gary, a North Carolina-based pastor by the name of William Barber, he's actually the head of the NAACP in North Carolina, he said that pastors who were willing to place their hands on the president and pray over him were, quote, practicing theological malpractice bordering on heresy, end quote. Barber, who's a leader of several protest movements that have targeted Trump and his policies, said in an interview with MSNBC, and this is the direct quote, when you can pray, P-R-A-Y, for a president and others while they are praying, P-R-E-Y, on the most vulnerable, you're violating the most sacred principles of religion, end quote. Gary, what do you say to those who love President Trump, or maybe they don't love him, they appreciate his strong constitutional, small government, pro-faith, pro-evangelical Christian policies, yet see him choose someone like Scaramucci, even though he chose him, Gary, for a brief time? You know, is there any validity to what William Barber said, or what do you think?
Well, it's a good question. Why did he choose Scaramucci? I don't know. That's a very good question. I guess, did they know each other? Is there a history there between them?
There appears to be. And, of course, you know, all the media said they seem to be cut out of the same mold, you know, two peas out of the same pod, you know, both of them very bull in a china shop, you know, wrecking ball type personalities. Yeah, they had some understanding, I think, Jim, of each other or knowledge of each other.
Yeah, I believe that's true, because Scaramucci worked in New York City in the stock exchange area. He was a hedge fund manager for a number of years, very successful. And, of course, Trump spent a lot of his time in New York City. He's got properties there. So they got to know each other. How well they got to know each other, I don't know. But at least Trump had enough knowledge of him, recognizing his success. He was a millionaire, like $80 million, I believe, is what he was worth when he took the job over at the White House, at least for how many days? 10 days. In fact, I don't believe his term actually started until after he was fired.
I think six days. I think he was actually 6 days on the job, from what I understand.
After being sworn in, technically sworn in. Yeah.
But not his arrival date, whatever.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, very interesting.
So anyway, I think the answer is that they knew each other, maybe up close for a little bit, but at least they respected each other's success. I guess I could put it that way.
I know a fellow up in New York who made a comment on this, and he said that he observed that Donald Trump really understood what kind of a man that Scaramucci was, and thought that he would just get in there and clean up the White House, and that he would be there for a very short period of time. Now, this was right after he was put into that position. I don't think he thought it would be just 10 days, but he felt as though that once the mooch is in there, gets things straightened up, then Donald Trump would fire him. So, you know, this particular fellow felt as though it was just going to be a temporary job anyway.
I think there's a song out there called The Wrecking Ball.
And that's, yeah.
That's sort of what we saw there, I believe.
Yeah.
Jim, let me ask you this before we go to the break, yeah. And then we're going to talk a lot about John Kelly and get your expertise on that four-star general. But you've been around a lot of high-profile people within the Pentagon, and you understand perhaps unlike any other, when you get around people that are successful, they have egos. And obviously, Anthony Scaramucci is a man filled with an ego. Now, some of that can be very productive,
right,
if it's channeled in the right direction, but it can also be incredibly negative. Talk about that from a biblical perspective, how ego can be good in some situations, but it can also be very, very bad.
You look at the fruit of the Spirit. That should be the characteristic behavior of Christians. And it talks about love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control, okay? And so when you look at people, when the book of James, which my first name is James, so I read that probably more on average than any other book because there's a lot of wisdom in there.
Did you write it?
I don't think so. I wish I could. But the point is there's a lot of wisdom about the tongue.
Yes, there is.
And if we can't control our tongues, it's an indicator, it's a thermometer of what's going on inside the person's heart and brain. If they can't control that, that's a problem. Now, with General Kelly, he had that under control from my observation. He spoke not softly, but he spoke with dignity, and he spoke with authority, but he didn't lose it.
Jim, perfect segue. Okay. Perfect segue into what we're going to talk about in the next segment. But I want to just mention, Gary, that passage that Jim quoted, and that is James 3, where the Bible says very clearly, and this is a very pivotal principle, that if any man cannot control his tongue, or if he can control it, he's able to control or bridle the whole body. And there are a couple of illustrations given in James 3. A ship, the rudder, which is a small, small part of the ship, but controls, 33,000 tons of an aircraft carrier by a very small rudder.
100,000 tons.
100,000 tons.
Yes, yes.
Or a bit and bridle in a horse's mouth, and you can turn a horse. The entire body is directed by just controlling the mouth. So, Gary, there is a principle there that Jim's touched on that's vitally, vitally important.
Well, it is vitally important. And you know, that's the thing. How many people have been destroyed by the tongue? And how you talk about fake news. Fake news is out there. Why? Because of the uncontrolled tongue. How many churches have been split and destroyed over the uncontrolled tongue? And as it relates to born-again believers, you know, it's very important that we see to it that our tongue is controlled by the Spirit of God. Jim mentioned the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22-23. It's as we allow the Spirit of God to control our tongue that we are going to be speaking appropriately. Unfortunately, many believers, because they don't have the power of the Holy Spirit, their tongue is just wagging on both ends, as we often say here in Pennsylvania.
Well, friends, take that biblical admonition and a little bit of exposition from the book of James and understand controlling the tongue is not only something we're to do, but the ability to control the tongue under the aid of the Holy Spirit says something about an individual, and the lack of ability to control also says something as well. Well, when we come back, we're going to look very deep into who this man is that our president has chosen as his chief of staff, four-star General John Kelly. Don't miss this in-depth analysis after the break.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, friends, welcome back to Stand in the Gap Today. Gary, talk to our listening audience a little bit, if you would, about how they can take us with them on the road and can listen via a wonderful new app that we have at Stand in the Gap Radio. Talk about
that. You want me to sing On the Road again?
No, I don't want you to sing, Gary. No. We're trying to improve our audience, not diminish it.
Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we do mention this from time to time that we have an app. And if you have an iPhone or an Android, you can get it. And all you need to do is to go to your app store and type in Stand in the Gap, and it's there. And, of course, it's free. And you get a lot of information. As a matter of fact, around 10 o'clock in the morning Eastern time. You get information concerning what we will be discussing on the program that day. And there are other things, other opportunities, other resources that come your way as a result of that particular app. So if you have an iPhone or an Android, I would encourage you to take us with you by going to the App Store, type in Stand in the Gap. You get that free download, and you can take us with you no matter where you go. And for a small price, I'll sing some more if you want.
No, Gary, that's thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Yeah, if you'd like, you can send in for a blank CD of Gary not singing, if you wish to do so.
I'd be happy to fill it.
Well, let's go to this topic that we announced going into the break, and that is, who is General John Kelly? He is 67 years of age. He's a native of Boston. He stepped down in 2016 from commanding the U.S. Southern Command, where he was responsible for U.S. military activities and relationships in Latin America and the Caribbean, including the controversial detention facility at Guantanamo Bay. While at Homeland Security, which is where he was serving prior to coming to be chief of staff, he presided over a crackdown on illegal migrants and a more aggressive posture for the United States Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency, otherwise known as ICE. Kelly has won Trump's praise for a fall in numbers of recorded crossings along the southern border, even though there has been no construction of the president's promised border wall yet. So people coming across have dropped under Kelly's leadership. Kelly told lawmakers during his confirmation hearings in January that he supported Trump and the need for a wall, though he spoke out about the need for extra border agents and better technology. And friends, under his leadership, a hiring spree of agents is underway, or was underway, still is, really, despite concerns over vetting of candidates. Kelly, who had enlisted in the Marines in 1970, served as commander of U.S. Southern Command under Obama from 2012. While in that role, he differed, and Jim, he differed quite adamantly with Barack Obama on some very key issues and warned of vulnerabilities along the United States southern border with Mexico. He is from an Irish Catholic background. He is the most senior U.S. officer to have lost a child in the war on terror. His son, Robert, a first lieutenant in the Marine Corps, was killed in combat in Afghanistan in 2010. And at Southcom, Kelly quickly developed a reputation for opposition to Obama's intended closure of Guantanamo Bay. 40 years is how long he served in the Marine Corps, including three tours in Iraq. Was previously tapped by Trump to lead the Department of Homeland Security, as we already said, which is the third largest cabinet department and oversees the security of the nation's airports and along its borders. Jim, I want to talk to you a little bit about this. This is an impressive resume, to say the least. And having been in the Pentagon working with men of this caliber, Jim, you know what this kind of resume says about a person. Talk a little bit about General Kelly, and specifically what you know of how the loss of his son affected him.
My wife and I, we have three sons and one daughter, and I can't imagine getting a visit to my home by a couple of chaplains telling me that my son has been killed in combat. I don't know what that's like. I almost can't even talk about it. But he has had that experience. And he has another son, by the way, that's also a Marine. And there's something about the Marine Corps. I don't know what it is, but I had one working for me, an 05 light colonel. And I had three Air Force colonels, full colonels, 06s, and I had one Army 07 brigadier general. And out of those five officers, who do you think my executive officer was I chose?
Lieutenant Colonel.
You got it. Not just because he was a Marine, but also because of the fact that he had the fewest number of weapon systems that I was testing as a conflict of interest. In other words, if you've got a new armored vehicle that you want to go through testing, and it's one of your services, you're going to be a little protective, just naturally, right? So I wanted to pick somebody that had the least conflict of interest. And he was amazing. He was absolutely amazing. His father was in the Foreign Legion. So the Marine Corps is a very special, the smallest of the services, I guess, except for the
Coast Guard.
Coast Guard, yes, what I was thinking. And but boy, I'll tell you, they're out in the front lines. They're right there. And so I think General Kelly demonstrated his success not only in Anbar Province, by the way, where his son was killed by a roadside IED, but also by demonstrating in his Homeland Security activity that he could get the job done. That's a tough place to work, just like, you know, I work for Homeland Security right now under contract, overseeing the detectors that detect checked baggage for bombs. And it's a tough job. You know, you're always going to be criticized for that one that got through.
Sure.
And he succeeded there. He was very successful. So I think Trump, in fact, I know that Trump saw that record and also saw his record in the Marine Corps. He also communicated between the Pentagon and Congress while he was working in the Pentagon. He was the liaison. So he understands the Congress. He understands the Pentagon. So, you know, it was an ideal fit, I think.
That is an excellent point, Gary, for him to talk about a man who has testified before Congress. He understands the relationship the White House, the executive branch, must maintain with Congress. Gary, let me ask you this. What do you think this is? It's another military man that Trump has chosen. Tremendous leadership skills, tremendous skill set, tremendous character in this gentleman, John Kelly. What do you think that says again about the Trump selecting someone like that?
Well, I think he understands, just like Jim said, I think he understands now, maybe more than what he did 6 months ago, what it takes to get things done there in Washington, D.C. And I think that that's why he has brought John Kelly in as his chief of staff, because John Kelly understands military. He understands Washington. He knows how to get things done. He knows his way. He knows his way around Congress, the Capitol Hill, from what we can understand. And so I think that what it shows me about Donald Trump is that he wants to get the best people in the best place to do the best thing for our country. And that's what he's done with General Kelly.
Jim, I don't know if you may know the answer to this or not, but I'm going to ask you. This is a four-star general. This is an amazing person.
I've heard three-star and four-star, so I'm not sure which is correct.
I think it's four-star.
Yes, yeah, right. What I've heard, too, but okay. I've also heard three, but I'm, I've heard more.
Three and a half.
All I'm saying is the media is not quite sure. They're ambivalent on it. But anyway, we'll give them the credit.
Fake news again. Okay. But my question is this, whether he's three-star, four-star, this is a man of incredible gifting. He's a man of incredible ability. Do you know of any other president in history that you know of that has ever selected not just a man of this caliber, but any former military man to serve as chief of staff?
Well, I think of Alexander Haig.
There you go.
I'm in charge. Remember that? but that was his military taking over, and people accuse him of sort of having a coup in the White House. But, you know, when we don't know what's going on, you have to take command and give people confidence that things are under control. So I'm not going to fault him for that because his military bearing was coming through. Of course, looking back on it, people thought that that was sort of dangerous, having military control.
But put that in context. When you look back at that, H.W. Bush, Vice President Bush, was not at the White House at that point.
That's correct.
And I think that what
Alexander Haig
was saying right now, right here in the White House, I'm in charge.
No, and that's why I'm not faulting him.
Right.
I mean, but people look at it as, well, he exceeded his authority. My answer is, I don't think so. Not for that point in time. We needed that. So.
And you know, the other interesting thing, I just got this off the wire this morning. Maybe you guys know more about it, but General Kelly considered resigning from Homeland Security when President Trump fired Comey.
Did he really?
Yep. And so, you know, from that point until right now, being chief of staff, it's interesting what must have been taking place between those two people, Trump and Kelly.
It could be that because of the general now being the number one guy in the White House, it could affect Comey's outlook on this whole hearing. Not that Trump is thinking that strategically,
right.
But you understand it could be.
Well, gentlemen, all of this is very, very interesting, but I will say this. This gentleman, John Kelly, is a phenomenal person.
Yes, he is.
An amazing individual. He is the epitome of everything that is right and decent and just about those that serve in the military. And, guys, I don't know about you, but I am incredibly excited about where this is going to go.
Well, I think it's also important to recognize he's also human.
He is.
And just like all the rest of us. So if something happens where he makes a mistake or something, I think we should be careful not to just jump on him and try to claim that he's not perfect.
But hot off the press is the idea that the next guy in line for chief of staff is James O'Brien.
No.
Well, I'll tell you what is hot off the press, and that's what we're going to talk about in the next segment coming up. And, friends, we don't want you to miss it. Gary, the word I'm hearing is this, is that the communication director slot that's now been vacated by Anthony Scaramucci may be filled by none other than Kellyanne Conway.
Interesting.
Yeah, very, very interesting, friends. But we need to pray for our president. Yesterday's program about praying for our president, protecting the presidency, and protecting the republic. Prayer is absolutely essential. And friends, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the outcome of this decision by our president, as well as what may be happening in the position that Kellyanne Conway may be filling, and that is communication director. Is that where that's going? We're going to talk about that after this very brief timeout. You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today.
Hey, I'm Brant. Just read this news item about the two things that are stressing Americans out the most. Thought this was interesting. They say we're losing a record amount of sleep because of these two things. Number one, healthcare expenses. And the second thing, saving for retirement. The two biggest stressors. But what's remarkable? You can make a phone call right now and actually take action on both of these at once. Just call MediShare. MediShare members share each other's medical expenses, and it works beautifully. They've shared over $1 billion in healthcare expenses since 1993. Most members save about $500 a month compared to other healthcare plans. Imagine having a great healthcare plan and adding $500 for your retirement every month. One call, two less things to stress about, and that can help you sleep better at night. Here's the number. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE. Now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE.
Americans are a freedom-loving people. Wouldn't it be great if you could carry a copy of the essential documents that outline our freedoms written by our nation's founders in your pocket so you can refer to it every day? Well, now you can. Stand in the Gap Radio has found something you're sure to like. The Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide. The handy guide is a slim 6.5 by 3.5 inches, yet it includes the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the preamble to the Bill of Rights, and other influential documents, including, in the words of our founders, topical quotes from America's founders, plus a listing of online resources for further research by the serious-minded or the just plain curious. To see and request your copy of the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide and make your tax-deductible gift of any amount, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Let us hear from you today. Thank you, and God bless you.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website. AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, friends, welcome back to Stand in the Gap Today. It has been a delightful program to be in studio. We didn't say anything about this at the very beginning of the program, but normally I am in either North Carolina or some other state in the United States, and Gary is in Altoona, Pennsylvania. Sam is in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. But today, because of the Central Pennsylvania Bible Conference, at which I am honored to be a speaker, Jim O'Brien is our conference director, and of course, Gary Dahl and his ministry, Way of Truth, are the ministry that sponsors the Central Pennsylvania Bible Conference. We're all in studio together. Guys, I just want to say it's been a lot of fun just to be able to look at your faces, talk to you, and just have a conversation on air about some of these things. It's been a real delight. I want to share with you, friends, before we talk a little bit about the role Kellyanne Conway may play as potentially communication director, and this is not confirmed, but I want to talk a little bit about what's going on in the White House currently that you may not be aware of. Friends, there is a ministry called Capital Ministries headed up by Ralph Drollinger, a former NBA basketball player, played his college ball for UCLA, and John Wooden, he I think is the only guy to have four championship rings from the Wooden team. And anyway, after he left UCLA, He began a ministry called Capital Ministries. His goal was to get Bible studies started in the state legislatures of all 50 states. I think he has now at least 40 states that he has Bible studies started. And he also is ministering in Washington, D.C. He's a wonderful guy. And one of the places where he's conducting Bible studies in D.C. is with cabinet members in the White House. And I'm talking about President Trump's cabinet members, some of the regular attendees to his Bible study include Health and Human Services Secretary Tom Price, Education Secretary Betsy DeVos, Agricultural Secretary Sonny Perdue, Attorney General Jeff Sessions, and CIA Director Mike Pompeo. I think there's a total of 12 cabinet officials that actually attend the Bible study. Gary, that in and of itself is beyond encouraging.
Well, it is, and the encouraging thing is, too, David, is that and Ralph's ministry is great. I think he also played for the Mavericks and the Boston Celtics.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right.
By the way. But anyway, putting that aside, when he sensed, I guess, or considered the fact that Donald Trump might end up in the White House, he wrote a letter and asked the president, if he wins, if he enters the White House, can we come in and teach a Bible study? And right here, you know, is Donald Trump's handwriting with his signature, where he says, Ralph, you have a great reputation. Look forward to meeting you. Can't read the rest of it.
It says when things calm down,
yeah. Best wishes, Donald Trump. And the emphasis was, you know, we're going to talk about the possibility of doing this. And so recently, that door has opened. Now, I understand that it's Mike Pence, Vice President Mike Pence, who is sponsoring it. But on a regular basis, Capital Ministries is having Bible study. And it's good Bible study.
Yes, it is.
I mean, good literal Bible study taking place in the White House in Washington, D.C. And I don't know when the last time it was that that was being done consistently, but Donald Trump has invited it and is allowing.
And the president is invited to all these Bible studies. His schedule sometimes is prohibitive, and he's not able to do that. But, Jim, still, I don't think I've seen anything like this, certainly in our lifetime. Maybe you'd have to go all the way back to the founding era to find anything similar.
Well, Dave, you know, people will say, oh, that's awful. Separation of church and state, got it. You know, this is illegal. My answer is, folks, be reminded that when our country was founded, the first church in Washington, D.C. was in the Capitol building.
That's correct.
you know what? Church is still being held every Wednesday night in the Capitol building.
Right.
People don't know that.
Right.
No, it's called the Jefferson Gathering. It's held in the same room. I've been at it. Gary, you've been at it with me just recently. But it's held in the same room that the church services were held during the days of our third president, Thomas Jefferson.
Right.
So obviously, Jim, the point you're making is they had no misunderstanding or problem with what we commonly call today separation of church and state, which is an abuse of the First Amendment, is a distorting of what the First Amendment was intended to do.
When you look at a bird cage, the question you've got to ask yourself, is the bird in the cage to keep it from flying away because it wants to fly away, or is it there to protect the bird from people meddling with it? You know, that's, and it's the twisted philosophy. And the cage is there to keep the bird from flying away, not to, you know, protect it from people that are probing at the bird. And I think we've got it backwards, the way we look at the separation of church and state, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, the First Amendment, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, was not intended to keep God out of government. It was to keep government out of the affairs of the church. And so that's the point you're making, Jim. I think it's outstanding.
Right.
Well, friends, we wanted to share this with you, hopefully to be an encouragement to you so that you understand what's going on in an unprecedented fashion in Washington, D.C. currently. Gentlemen, let's talk about this in the minute and a half we have before. Jim, I'm going to ask you to lead us in prayer as we exit the program. But what about this possibility of Kellyanne Conway? I know, Jim, during the break we were talking about it. You had a strong opinion, and I respect your opinion highly. You think that Kellyanne's doing great where she's at.
Yeah, I think that she shouldn't go to a level of her incompetence. She is extremely competent in what she's doing. And I'm just afraid that she'll get into an area where she'll be less optimal than she is now. And the media will just, I think they'll try to eat her up. Maybe they won't be successful, but I'm just hoping she'll stay right where she is. She's outstanding. She's tremendous on her feet. But bring somebody else in there that will sort of take most of the barbs, if you will. Let her do her thing. I'm not saying she couldn't do a good job, but I think where she is right now, I'd love to see her stay.
How about Bill O'Reilly?
We'll be right back after this word from our sponsor.
Well, Gary, before we go to Jim to pray here, we've got about 60 seconds before we have to do that. What do you think? Because I tend to agree with Jim. I think my wife has made an interesting comment about Kellyanne from a woman's perspective. She does think incredibly well on her feet. She is sharp as a tack. She knows how to field those questions on Fox News or whatever network. More recently, this infamous interview on MSNBC where she did a stellar job defending the president and the presidency. I think she's doing great where she is, too.
She does, and you say about your wife. My wife loves her, too, you know. And I think Kellyanne Conway is where she needs to be. When she's being interviewed by whomever, she gets the answer out whether the interviewer, I guess, the reporter, wants her to give the answer or not. You know, she just keeps talking mm-hmm. until she gets out the information. And so she stands up good and strong for the president. She needs to stay there, in my opinion.
I agree. I think somebody else should take the slings and arrows, as Shakespeare said, of outrageous fortune that will come their way, and let Kellyanne continue to do what she's doing because she is doing it so well. Jim, I know you have one more comment, but you don't. Nope. Okay. Well, then let's do this. Friends, we need to pray and pray much for the incoming communication director, whoever that is. We need to pray very greatly for the incoming White House Chief of Staff, General Kelly. Jim, take us to the throne of grace as we pray.
Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have this opportunity to share the gospel and share the good news and help to illuminate what's happening in our world in the light of your word. Lord, we lift up to you our president, our vice president, his cabinet, all those we've been talking about today. Lord, you know the end from the beginning. You know the first from the last. And we just rely on you for your guidance and leading through your Holy Spirit and through your holy word. And Lord, help us to be faithful. Help us to look to you for wisdom and strength, because that is the source. Yes, we go to college. Yes, we get educations. But there's nothing like the truth of Scripture. We pray all these things in our precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Well, friends, I hope you've been encouraged today, and I hope you will take what you've heard today and use it as a sieve through which to filter a lot of that which you watch on television, whether it's network or cable news. Because they're not telling you the whole story. God is alive and well, and he's greatly at work in our nation's capital. So, friends, you keep praying for those that are in positions of leadership representing us, the American people, and stand up for truth right where you are. Join us 23 hours from now on our next installment, Stand in the Gap Today.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.